Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The future is cloudy for groups fighting to get those marijuana and anti-fracking proposals on the November ballot in Michigan. That's because the House last week gave final approval to SB 776. This bill sets up a strict 180-day window for groups to gather signatures on ballot initiative and constitutional amendment petitions. And the act would take effect immediately if Governor Snyder signs it. Our It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta are with us now digging into all of this. Now, on the surface, it might seem like a modest change to election law in Michigan, but what kind of impact could it have on future ballot drives, Zoe?
Right, modest, but so effective and somewhat controversial. So here's what's going on. You know, maybe you've been out and about, particularly now that the weather is warm, and someone's like, hey, you want to sign my my petition here? You want to put your signature? Mm-hmm. Well, there's been a rule that any signature that's over 180 days, that then they just say, you know what, it's invalid. That if they turn in the petition signatures and after 180 days, the idea is like maybe you moved or gosh forbid, someone could have died who signed it. But now there is a group who is trying to get a question on the ballot who is pushing back on this idea of 180 days.
Using this thing called the rebuttal procedure. Rick, explain to us what this is, because it really hinges on all of this.
The way that it works, it's called rebuttable presumption, which is also my new band name. And what it says is that these signatures are presumed to be stale, are presumed to be invalid, but if you can prove that the person is still a registered voter, then the signature is counted again. And in the case of the anti-fracking and the marijuana ballot drives, that we know that they've got a lot of signatures that are over 180 days old. As a matter of fact, they acknowledge they can't get on the ballot unless they're counted. So what they want to do is just have the state check those names against its electronic database of voters. And what happened was a state elections panel said, you know, we're not going to change the rules. You're going to have to do it a different way, which is that you've got to go and get an affidavit from the voter, or you've got to get an affidavit from the local clerk for every single signature that you're trying to rescue, a task so arduous that the leader of the marijuana ballot drive said that it's the equivalent of chasing unicorns.
And now with this SB 776, that means forget that. Close that door. It isn't happening. You've got a hard, strict 180-day
whether
window.
You get it from the local clerk, the voter, or from the state's qualified voter file, the electronic database, it's still, if it's over 180 days, then it is no longer valid if Governor Snyder actually signs this into law.
TBD. But now let's turn to this question of immediate effect, because usually when the state legislature passes some act, it takes effect 90 days after final adjournment of the legislative session in which it was passed, right? How did I do?
Nicely done. I was quietly clapping.
Thank
in the
you.
Background.
So here's this Article 4, Section 27 in the state constitution that says lawmakers can give immediate effect to its acts if the measure passes with a two-thirds majority. But hey, SB 776 passed with 57 votes, and I'm the worst person in arithmetic in the world. I can tell 57 is not two-thirds of 109. Zoe, what's
right.
going on
it's,
here, guys?
Well, it's actually they're separate motions, and unlike the votes to adopt a bill, they're not record roll calls that you're supposed to stand or raise your hand or yell aye or something like that. However, we know, first of all, because of the record roll call votes and also because of the dissents that were filed in the official journal, that there's no mathematical way that Republicans had enough votes to qualify this bill for immediate effect so that it would take effect right away and affect ballot campaigns that are currently in the field and getting ready to turn in their signatures. However, this has been litigated before in a different case where Democrats sued Republicans, and what the Michigan Court of Appeals ruled, that it was a judge with a history with the Republican Party who wrote the opinion, said that we don't tell the legislature how to count votes. It's a separation of powers issue. So now Republicans can use whatever method they want to count, you know, votes for immediate effect, and no one can call foul unless this is somehow challenged again, maybe in a federal court that might say, you know what, if you're going to count votes, you have to use standard math.
And this has gotten Democrats, particularly with Republican control of both chambers and the executive branch, so riled up because Democrats feel like, hey, you just keep doing this. This is something that Rick and I have actually been covering back since 2012. And, you know, for those
of, we spent a lot of time on IE,
this small little kind of procedural thing, but that has really changed some things. And Rachel Maddow, this was actually on MSNBC, one of the first things that she took to task. Before the Flint water crisis, this was her kind
immediate
of story
effect.
From Michigan was
but
immediate effect.
Democrats have used it in the past, too.
And this is the other thing that Rick and I, that this is what we explained that years ago, that look, this, again, because it's a parliamentary procedure, you know, Democrats have and likely in the majority would. And this is the conversation.
Oh, and have.
This
and
is
have.
What we're saying. Yeah. And absolutely have before.
I mean, interesting how a federal appeals panel wrote about the use of immediate effect. Here was the quote. And this is a few years ago. Apparently, the Michigan legislature believes the Michigan Constitution can be ignored. Ouch.
I guess it depends on how you count the votes. Yes, I mean, look, they are ignoring the spirit, if not the letter, of the Michigan Constitution and justifying it by saying that both sides have historically done this, you know, which is true. However, you know, recent Republican legislatures have really brought it to new levels.
And finally, just very quickly, interesting to note that if some of these questions don't make it onto the ballot, if we don't have any ballot questions in November 2016, it would be the first time in a presidential year since 1988 that folks aren't voting on a statewide ballot.
Our It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta, thanks for breaking this down for us and shedding light on that dark corner.
Thanks, Cindy.
Always a pleasure.